السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فإذا نفخ في الصور نفخة واحدة وحملت الأرض والجبال فدكتا دكة واحدة فيومئذ وقعت الواقعة وانشقت السماء فهي يومئذ واهية والملك على أرجائها ويحمل عرش ربك فوقهم يومئذ ثمانية يومئذ تعرضون لا تخفى منكم خافية فأما من أوتي كتابه بيمينه فيقول هاؤم اقرءوا كتابيه إني ظننت أني ملاق حسابيه فهو في عيشة راضية في جنة عالية قطوفها دانية كلوا واشربوا هنيئا بما أسلفتم في الأيام الخالية صدق الله العظيم. From the beginning of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have talked about the day of judgment and after proving the day of judgment he talked about the nations that were destroyed because of not believing in that day and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us four examples of those nations. كَذَّبَتْ ثَمُودُ وَعَادٌ بِالْقَارِعَةِ The nation of Thamud and nation of Aad. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after a few ayahs he talks about Pharaoh. وَجَاءَ فِرْعَوْنُ وَمَنْ قَبْلَهُ وَالْمُؤْتَفِكَاتُ بِالْخَاطِئَةِ In fact, five nations altogether that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about. Thamud, Aad, Pharaoh, and Mu'tafikat, as we talked about it in the last session, those are the nations of Lut alayhi salatu wa salam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about the nation of Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam. When he says, Inna lamma tagha al-ma'u hamalnakum fil jariyah. So after talking about these five nations and reminding us that five nations were destroyed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that don't think that these type of punishments were only for those people. He's reminding us of that so that we realize that there will be a day that each and every human being will be judged. When all of us will be seeing everything that we have done in our life, whatever good or bad have been done in this world, of course, human beings are responsible for it. The best things and the worst things that are going on in the world are done by human beings. And human being, you will always find some human beings responsible for it. On the day of judgment, each and every person will see all of the deeds that he has performed. And accordingly, people will be rewarded or will be punished. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayah number 13 of Surah Al-Haqqah, فَإِذَا نُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ نَفْخَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ When the trumpet will be blown with a single blast, نَفْخَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ One single blast will be enough to take everyone's life. وَحُمِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ وَالْجِبَالُ فَدُكَّتَا دَكَّةً وَاحِدَةٌ And the earth and the mountains will be lifted, and they will be crushed all at once. Everything will be destroyed. This is the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, نُفِخَ فِي الصُّور. The trumpet will be blown two times. Although there are some ahadith that talk about it being three times, but really, some ahadith are breaking it down in detail, so therefore they say three. In reality, there will be two. One is called Nafkhatu Sa'qa. The first blowing in the trumpet when all the human beings will die. And the procedure for that will be that in the beginning it will start blowing, people will start hearing that type of strong noise, and everyone will be surprised where the noise is coming from. Gradually people will start running towards the noise, and finally it will get so hard that all the people, initially they will faint and fall down, and finally they will die. So now when the ahadith say three times blowing in the trumpet, those ahadith are considering the first time when the human beings will faint and fall down. They are considering that as one, and then dying a second, and then coming back to life as a third one. And we know from the ahadith that really that will be just a continuation of the same blowing, when people initially they will be fainting and gradually they will start dying, and all of them finally will be dead. And that will be the time that when the trumpet will be blown, at that time everything will be destroyed. The mountains will be flying like cotton. And sun, moon and star will lose their lights. All the oceans will turn into a fire. Nothing will exist in the world anymore. And as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, no water will be left in the world. All the oceans will turn into a fire. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in a hadith, إِنَّ تَحْتَ الْمَاءِ نَارًا. Under this water, there is a fire. إِنَّ تَحْتَ الْبَحْرِ نَارًا. Under the ocean, there is a fire. وَتَحْتَ النَّارِ مَاءً. And under that water, and under that fire, there is more water. And many ahadith are showing that as on the Day of Judgment, the hellfire will be brought up towards the people, as there are ayahs of the Quran al-Kareem that says the hellfire will be brought closer to human beings. Ahadith are showing that all of these oceans will be part of that fire. They all will turn into that hellfire. They will become part of it. And this is just for us to understand and realize, if today someone falls in the ocean, with all the technology that we have and so many people concerned and worried about us to save us, still they cannot do anything about it. The person is lost. They can't even find the person. Imagine when that will be the time that all the human beings, the sinners, not all the human beings, all the sinners are being thrown in the hellfire. And of course there is no one to protect them either. Where are they going to find the protection for themselves? And just imagine getting drawn into that fire, into that ocean. Who's going to be looking for us? You can keep on crying and shouting, but there is no one to even think about you. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the hadith, in the Quran, that on that day people will be crying in the hellfire, and they will say to the angels that please ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from this punishment, or at least reduce the punishment for us. And the reply to them will be, قَالَ اخْسَأُوا فِيهَا وَلَا تُكَلِّمُونَ. Remain in there and don't even try to talk to me. I don't even want to talk to you people. And who would hear them from in there? So that will be the first time when the trumpet will be blown. All the whole universe, everything in the universe will be destroyed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in another ayah, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْجِبَالِ فَقُلْ يَنْسِفُهَا رَبِّي نَسْفًا. They ask you about the mountains, especially Jews came to ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the mountains. Because they were considering mountains too great to be destroyed. And basically, when a human being will just use his own brain, he would never think that all the mountains of the world will be destroyed. And Jews knew, according to their books, that all the mountains will be destroyed and all of them will become dust. So therefore they wanted to ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to find out whether he was a true prophet of Allah or not. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was asked, and Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam revealed these ayahs to him, he recited these ayahs to those Jews. They realized that he has to be the true prophet of Allah if he says the same thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَقُلْ يَنْصِفُهَا رَبِّي نَصْفًا. Allah will blast all the mountains and they will become dust. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَحُمِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ وَالْجِبَالِ. The mountains and the earth will be carried up. Angels or air, in whichever way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have it taken up, and then he's going to throw it down so hard that everything will become dust. فَدُكَّتَا دَكَّةً وَاحِدَةً فَيَوْمَئِذٍ وَقَعَتِ الْوَاقِعَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that is the day when the event will take place. وَقَعَتْ وَقَعَ يَقَعُ means to take place, to fall and to take place. And الْوَاقِعَةً is the event. So that event will take place. What event? It's such a great event that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just calls it an event. That there are no words to express what type of event that will be. There is no words in the dictionary that can explain what type of event that will be. Therefore, he just calls it al-waqi'ah. That it will be a real big event, and that is the Day of Judgment. And just for us to understand what type of event is going to be, وَانْشَقَّتِ السَّمَاءِ. That will be the day that even the heaven will open up, will split apart. فَهِيَ يَوْمَئِذٍ وَاهِيَةٍ. That day even the heaven will be very weak. So heaven will become weak and then finally it will break apart. وَالْمَلَكُ عَلَىٰ أَرْجَائِهَا. And angels will be on the sides of it, on the corners of it. Which simply means, according to this ayah, it seems that the heaven will stand breaking apart from the middle. As the angels will see the heavens breaking apart, they will run on the corners of it. And they all will stand on the corners of it until everything will be broken and human beings will die. Finally, even the angels will die. And as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informs us in the hadith, that everyone will die that day. And finally, Israel alayhi salatu wa sallam, who will be blowing in the trumpet, as everyone will die, finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause him to die also. And no living being will be left in the world. And that will be the time that only Allah will exist. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will start bringing angels back to life. as angels will come back to life, then the trumpet will be blown again, and by that blowing, human beings will start getting back their lives. And everyone will come back to life.
وَيَحْمِلُ عَرْشَ رَبِّكَ فَوْقَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ ثَمَانِيَةٍ.
And on that day, the throne of Allah will be carried by 8 angels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that there will be 8 angels on that day who will be carrying the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to remember these ayahs, these type of ayahs that talk about Arsh, the throne of Allah. These ayahs are of Al-Mutashabihat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us in Quran al-Kareem that there are two types of ayahs in Quran. One are those that are called Muhkam and the other are called Mutashabihat.
As far as those ayahs that are considered to be Al-Muhkam, that's the majority ayahs of Al-Quran al-Kareem.
The large portion of Quran al-Kareem is Al-Muhkam, which simply means those are the ayahs that we can understand the meanings of them. Aqimus salata wa atu zakah, and about different nations, about different orders. But there are certain ayahs of Al-Quran al-Kareem that are called Al-Mutashabihat. Al-Mutashabihat means the type of ayahs that human beings just using their brain can never understand them. We have no way of understanding those things. So then we leave that only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we say, only Allah knows how it is and what it is. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about His own paths of the body, يَدُ اللَّهِ فَوْقَ أَيْدِيهِمْ, His hand is above their hand. We say this is of Al-Mutashabihat. We cannot understand how is the hand of Allah? How does it look like? How can Allah's hand be on top of someone else's hand? These are the type of things that we can never understand because you cannot understand something you have never seen. If we try to guess and we try to imagine Allah wal-'ayazu billah like human beings, then that's wrong. Allah is not like human beings. And then he also very specifically tells us, وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. No one is like him. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing resembles Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's something we have never even, we can never even imagine what it is, how he looks like. And therefore when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, Ya Rasulullah, when you went for Mi'raj, did you see Allah? He said, no. He's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a nur. Now from this, scholars have, and even Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in had two different opinions. One is, he saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means he saw that nur, but it wasn't that seeing, what is it seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So if he saw some nur, they call it, he saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other hand, the other Sahaba say, since he did not see Allah in the form of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in whichever form he is, so therefore they say he did not see him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how he looks like, what he is, where he is, all of these things are of Al-Mutashabihat. We should never try to get into those details, because we will never be able to understand them. Nowadays, unfortunately, there are some people who make this as an issue. Ask the people, where is Allah? They have confused so many people, new Muslims. People have no information of aqa'id, have no information of deen. They will approach them and ask them, where is Allah? And that person gets confused. Where is Allah?
If that person says he's everywhere, oh, this is kufr. This is shirk. Because Allah is only on the arsh. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran that ثم استوى على العرش. He went on his arsh. But we have to remember, we should never try to go into these things. To try to talk about these subjects and confuse people about the subject by itself is a problem, and it shows that this person is a fitna for the ummah. Because look at the ayahs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about, muhkam and mutashabihat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very clearly says it in Surah Ala Imran. Minhu ayatum muhkamatun hunna ummul kitab wa ukharum mutashabihat. There are two types of ayahs. One are called al-muhkamat. That's the major portion of the book. And that's the meaning of the book. The main information of the book. وَأُخَرُ مُتَشَابِهَات. There are some other ayahs that are al-mutashabihat. Then what he says after that, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْخٌ. Those who have something wrong in their hearts. Their hearts have some disease in it. فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْ. They run after the mutashabih ayahs. Who will run after these mutashabihat? Those who have problem in their hearts. They carry a disease in their heart. They have a fitna in their heart. They will run after the mutashabihat. For what purpose they run after the mutashabihat? Subhanallah, Allah made it so clear so that no one today will come up and he says, I'm trying to understand it. Allah says, ابْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ وَابْتِغَاءَ تَأْوِيلِ. They will be running after the mutashabihat for one of the two reasons. Either to create a fitna amongst the ummah, or the second reason might be, وَابْتِغَاءَ تَأْوِيلِ, to understand the meaning of it. Allah says, how can you understand the meaning of it? وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. Whereas no one knows the real meaning of it except Allah. So even trying to understand the meaning of it is a fitna by itself. Because if Allah says you don't know it, you can never understand it, why are you trying to run after it? He says, I have never put that knowledge in the world. That knowledge does not exist in this world. Now to try to run after it, it's a fitna. And therefore he says, whether they are trying to create a fitna or they say we are trying to seek the knowledge or learn and teach, still that's a fitna if they run after the mutashabihat. So now when we find people running around to people, where is Allah? This is fitna. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never woke up in the morning to run to the Sahaba's home and ask each of the Sahaba, where is Allah? And he says, everywhere. Kafir, you are not my follower. Out of Islam. Never happened like this. The reason for it is, remember with these type of mutashabihat, as Allah tells us, you can never understand because there is no knowledge. That knowledge does not exist in the world. Therefore, whichever side you choose, you will always have questions that you have no answer for it. You will always be going to dead end and where you have to say, I don't know it. Therefore, we better stop at the very beginning before putting our ideas into it. For example, just the same question about the existence of Allah. Where is Allah? We find in Quran al-Kareem both type of ayahs. Some ayah says, Istawa ala al-arsh. He's on his arsh. The other ayah says, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. He is with you wherever you might be. And, مَا يَكُونُ مِنْ نَجْوَى ثَلَاثَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ رَابِعُهُمْ. Whenever two people are whispering to each other, three people are talking to each other, whispering to each other, the fourth is Allah. He's there. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. We are closer to human being than his juggler wind. All of these ayahs are showing he's everywhere. Now, the question comes from both sides. If you say he's everywhere, and we try to say that, okay, now I understand he's everywhere. We still don't understand it. So therefore, we have to say, He's with us. He's everywhere. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ He's with you wherever you might be. He's there everywhere the way He mentions us. How? We don't know it. How He's everywhere? We don't know it. We cannot explain it. How is He on the arsh? Yes, He's on the arsh. How is He on the arsh? I don't know it. He's not limited on that arsh. It's not like, see this ayah, the reason is, the question will come. You say Allah is sitting on His arsh. And then you try to picture the arsh like a chair and Allah is sitting on it. Who's carrying the arsh? What's holding the arsh up there?
Angels.
If a person, I'm sitting on a chair, and four people are holding the legs of the chair and they're holding the chair up, who's carrying me? These four people are carrying me. As they are carrying the chair, I'm sitting on it. So then, if the question comes, are these angels carrying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa al-ayyazu billah? So this is why we should never get into al-mutashabihat. These are al-mutashabihat. Questions will never end about it. You say, everywhere? Is he in the bathroom wa al-ayyazu billah? These type of things we can never explain. So therefore, He's everywhere, He's with us. The way He mentions, we don't know how. He's on His arsh, on His throne, the way He mentioned, we don't know how. Without limiting Him the order. So therefore, remember, we should never try to discuss and go into these details of mutashabihat, try to educate ourselves or others about mutashabihat. Just say, the way He mentioned it there. We don't know nothing further than this. Allah says, He's with us, He's with us. Alhamdulillah. He says He's on the arsh, He's on the arsh. Alhamdulillah. That's it. How? Where? We don't know none of those things. We cannot limit Him. And we cannot say things about Him that He have not mentioned about Himself. That's it. That's the end of the subject. And this is why. Under these ayahs, Imam Razi rahmatullahi alayhi have given some detail, and he given a beautiful explanation. He says that when Allah says He's on His throne, He says He's talking to us according to understanding of a human being. Just according to the understanding of a human being. And that is, he gives an example. He says, for example, when He says Allah's home, Kaaba, is Baytullah, is Allah's house. Does He live over there? No. Then He says, He have assigned angels to write everything you do. Is it because He doesn't know it or He forgets? No. That's according to the understanding of human beings, so that we realize there is someone writing it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that we will be presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. Are we away from Him? No. That's according to our understanding. Then He says He's sitting on the arsh. It's just like when you go to the court and you find the judge sitting up there. So this is according to the understanding of human being. Just to make them understand that there is something of that kind will be happening, that you will be presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all of this is just to make human beings understand. For example, He says He created everything. How did He create the whole universe and everything? How does He create things? We might refer to the ayah of Quran, إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. That He says, be, and it is there. Kun. Does Allah really have to say kun before He can create anything? That means, if He doesn't have that kaf and noon, kun, then He cannot create it? This is all according to the understanding of the human beings, that's all. So that we realize that if this is how easy it is for Him to create, it's just like saying be and it is. That's it. It's not that He has to use these words. So all of these things that are about Allah, this is how He is, this is where He is, this is what He says. All of this is just mutashabihat. It's something we can never understand it. Because we have never seen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Does not mean we will never understand it. We will, one, on the Day of Judgment. On the Day of Judgment, when human beings will have the type of eyes that will be allowed to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we will understand the reality behind all of these things. At this time, it's only the way he mentions that. We can never add anything to it. We can never take anything out of it. Don't try to explain it. Don't try to understand it. And don't try to confuse people about it. That how is this? How can that happen? And where is Allah? And where he is not? How can he not be there? How can he be there? All of these questions. Something that no one in the world can solve these type of questions. When it comes to al-mutashabihat, why and what has no end to it. And always you will find a dead end to the answers, but the questions will have no end to it. So, this is always the advice from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if our hearts are clean and we have no disease in the heart, then we should not be running after al-mutashabihat. So I was saying, this is what Imam Razi rahmatullahi alayhi, this is how beautifully he explains, and he says, at that time, there might be a group of ummah that were called al-mushabbaha, al-mujassama, who used to consider a body for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he will say he's sitting up there. So he says, we should not say anything of that kind. These are all of al-mutashabihat, because if we say, just he's sitting over there, وَيَحْمِلُ عَرْشَ رَبِّكَ فَوْقَهُمْ يَوْمَ إِذٍ ثَمَانِيَ, eight angels are carrying the arsh and the throne of Allah. If he's sitting on it, وَلَيَازُ بِاللَّهِ, are they carrying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No one can carry Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't need anyone to carry him, walayyazu billah. So therefore, these are all of al-mutashabihat. يَوْمَ إِذٍ تُعْرَضُونَ. And again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us. The day when you will be presented to Allah, عرض, to present something. يَوْمَ إِذٍ تُعْرَضُونَ. That day that you people will be presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا تَخْفَى مِنْكُمْ خَافِيَةً. Nothing of your deeds will be hidden. That day, no human being will be able to hide himself and or to hide any of his deeds. Nothing can be hidden. All the mountains, trees, houses, castles, everything will be destroyed. So there is nowhere in the world that anyone can go and hide. And at the same time, deeds are presented in front of us. And all the books are opened up. So no one will be able to cover up his deeds either, or to hide any of his deeds and say, I didn't do it. There will be some kuffar who will try to reject it, and they will deny it, that I didn't do this, Ya Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, that here the angels have wrote them. I didn't do it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask the person, what type of witness do you need? So he will say, I won't believe it, I won't trust it until I myself will witness about it. But I know I didn't do it. I don't trust anyone else. These angels, I don't know what they wrote. That will be the time, الْيَوْمَ نَخْتِمُ عَلَىٰ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ. We will seal their mouth. وَتُكَلِّمُنَا أَيْدِيهِمْ. Their hands will start talking. وَتَشْهَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Their feet will witness of what they had been doing. Some people raise the question now. Non-Muslims, they study the Quran not for hidayah, for dalala, to be worse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Quran, يُضِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا. Many people get the guidance through this book. And kathira, many of the people also get misled because of the same thing, by reading the same book. Because when they don't try to understand it the right way from the right sources, they are always misled. So they have raised the question, how can fingers talk? How can feet talk? But they do not realize who gave the tongue the power to speak. It's a piece of flesh, just like any other thing in the body. The one who created this piece of flesh, he created the rest of the body. The one who gave this tongue the power to speak can give any other part of the body the power to speak. What's so difficult about it? If he put the power of seeing in these eyes, he can take it away also. And if he can put it in these eyes, he can put it somewhere else also. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, if people will try to deny their deeds, their hands will speak, their feet will speak. But nothing will, no one will be able to hide them away. On that day, angels will be witnessing against human beings for everything human beings have done. Then these books will be written and will be presented to us in written form. Number three, even the place where we have done something wrong will witness against us. That on that piece of land, on that bed, on that, in that house, at that mountain, on that rock, on that carpet, each and everything, whatever, wherever we were at the time of committing the sin, that place will speak against the person. In Surah Al-Zilzal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us, يَوْمَ إِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا. The earth will be revealing all of its news. وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا يَوْمَ إِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا. Human beings will say, what happened to this earth? It's revealing all of my secrets. So not only our hands and feet and the different parts of the body, even the earth, the dust, will have the power of speech, and it will speak and say whatever human beings have done on it. So this is called Al-Ard, when human beings will be presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with all of their deeds. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge them for whatever they have done. Now remember, just being presented before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by itself, it's one of the most difficult tasks. How can we face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In this life, we try to show people that we are doing something good. We are great people. We deserve a lot of respect. Someone disrespects us, we get upset. On the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows all of our deeds, whatever we have been doing in our life, most secret sin in the world, can be committed in the world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will know about it. And the person who is being presented to Allah knows that Allah knows all of these things. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informs us, as people will be presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there will be people that Allah will remind them of their sins. And He will stand with the list of minor sins. It will be such a long list of the minor ones that the person will be just thinking, these are only the minor ones. And just these are enough now for me to go to hellfire. So Allah will remind him of all of those. And then Allah will tell him, look, these are your sins. What do you think I should do with you? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that person will know for sure that he has to go to hellfire. There is no way that he can escape the punishment. So he wouldn't say anything. He will say, Ya Allah, I know this is why I deserve it. So I know where I'm going, Ya Allah. So he will say, okay, I'm forgiving your sins. All of your sins are forgiven. And he will send the person to Jannah. There will be many people of that kind, but there will be another group of people that Allah have loved some of their good deeds. He liked those people for some reason, for one deed or another one, whatever something they have done in their life. And Allah will call on those people also, will remind them of all of their sins, and same thing, starting with the minor sins. After reminding him of all of his minor sins, Allah will say, I have replaced all of these sins with reward. All of these sins are replaced with reward. So now, instead of having such a long list of sins, he has that long list of good deeds. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then informs us, this person, when he will see that Allah have replaced all the sins with the reward, he will remind Allah, he will say, Ya Allah, these are only the minor ones. How about the major? I have committed many major sins also. So he will remind Allah that I have committed major sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will laugh with this person, and then he is going to tell him, okay, here, we get all of your major ones also and replace them with good deeds. So all of his sins, minor and major, will be replaced with reward, and that person will go to Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتْ. And as far as being presented to Allah, there is another ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعُرِضُوا عَلَىٰ رَبِّكَ صَفَّىٰ. They will be presented to Allah in rows. لَقَدْ جِئْتُمُونَا كَمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. Subhanallah. You came back to us in the same form that we created you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, all the human beings will be presented to Allah. They won't even have the dress on them. They will have no clothes. Aisha radiallahu anha said, Ya Rasulullah, if that will be the situation, people will be looking at each other. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-amru ashaddu min dhalik. Aisha, the difficulty of the day will make them forget looking at each other. That's only in this world. And even in this life, just imagine a small pain a person might have. He's going through a surgery. I don't care how many nurses will come to him. He is not going to be looking at them with that intention at that time. The pain that he is going through at the time, the hardship of the time, and he knows the surgery that he will be, the room that he's been taken to, that's enough for him to forget all of these things. In fact, that's the time he's making so many promises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I come out of this situation, I will never do a sin, I will be in the masjid day and night, I will be doing the ibadah of Allah. As if he's going to come out, it seems that this person will never leave the masjid anymore, day and night you will be doing salah. Unfortunately, when we come out, we forget all of that, and the masjid is still empty. But the fact is, this is just to remind us that if this is the difficulty of this world, a little pain of this world, a bypass surgery makes the person forget everything. So imagine, and not only that, that's still a big thing. Just a toothache or a headache, that's enough to make us just forget about all of these sins. He doesn't want to look at anything haram. He's in such a pain that he doesn't want to commit none of these sins at this time. He doesn't even feel attracted to any of those things. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the hardship of the Day of Judgment will be much more than any hardship people have seen in the world. So لَقَدْ جِئْتُمُونَا, Allah says, that day you will come to us just exactly the way you were created in the beginning. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ. Now as people will be presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will start giving them their deeds in the written form. Some people will be given in the right hand and some people will be given in the left hand. Being given in the right hand simply means this person is going to Jannah, he has good deeds. Given in the left hand means, well, ayaz billah, the person is going in the wrong place. He is going to the wrong direction. He will be facing the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, as these people will be presented to Allah and they will receive the deeds in their hands, those people who will receive them in the right hand, they have not gone through the judgment. They have not gone through the judgment. So what it is then? Aisha radiallahu anha asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ذَاكَ الْعَرْضِ. They will be just presented to Allah. And Allah will question them a few things. You will remind them of things. Remember, you did this. And he will admit, yeah, Allah, it was my mistake. I did it. Okay, go to Jannah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, مَنْ نُوقِشَ الْحِسَابَ عُذِّبَ. If a person will be asked questions, for sure he will be facing a punishment. If a person will be asked a question, why did you do it? That's it. As soon as a person is asked why, that simply means this person is going to the other place now. He cannot go to Jannah. And we need to remind ourselves, when we try to find excuses for ourselves of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world, remember, that's one of the most dangerous things we will do to ourselves. That find an excuse of committing sin, of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if we try to find an excuse in this life, there is a big possibility that on that day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us also, so that He wants to see why did you do it. Okay, you thought you were right. He will ask the person, why did you do it? And now the person will present all of his excuses, and Allah will not accept none of them. Because there is no valid excuse for disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No excuse in this world whatsoever for committing a sin and for going against the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, we have to realize, we should never try to find an excuse for ourselves. Yes, we all commit sins. And every human being commits some sins in his life. As we commit these sins, when we do something wrong, instead of finding an excuse for ourselves, just admit, it's my mistake, I'm a sinner. No excuse, I'm a sinner. May Allah forgive me. In this situation, there is a big hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not ask the person on the Day of Judgment, why did you do it? He will just remind him, you did it. Yes, Ya Allah, I did it. But if he says, in this life, he tries to come to the public and tell the people, no, it's not, I'm not doing something wrong. I'm still as virtuous as Abu Bakr and Umar, wa'ayyazu billah. And really, there are so many times that we try to find ourselves, comparing ourselves with the great people of the Ummah. So, we should never try to give ourselves an excuse. Whatever sins we commit, may Allah forgive us. We admit the sin. We admit that we are wrongdoers. We admit that we are sinners. And in that way, there is a big hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshaAllah, will not ask us, why did you do it? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is informing us that people who want to get the book in the right hand and who will be receiving the book in the right hand, they will not be asked why. They won't be cross-questioning. It will be just reminding, okay, you did this. He did it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we find in the hadith, most of those people who have long list of sins, inshaAllah, Allah will tell them also, just go. Don't even worry about it. So large portion of the ummah, in spite of long list of sins, inshaAllah, they will be just said, reminded of the things that they have done, so that they realize that they don't deserve it. They are not going there because they deserve it. And then Allah will say, just go. That will be the majority, inshaAllah, of the ummah. Except, as we find in the hadith, except for those who try to find excuses for themselves, or, wal-ayazu billah, they try to get into one of those things that bring the la'na of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, brings the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then even on that day Allah will keep them away. La'na means away from the rahmah of Allah. And there are many deeds, list of so many deeds in the Quran and hadith. By committing such deeds, the person gets, wal-ayazu billah, the la'na of Allah, the curse by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to avoid those type of sins. Long list of those. There is long list of those sins. Long doesn't mean we are looking for in thousands, not really in hundreds. There must be less than 100. But it still is a long list. There are books written especially about the subject Asbabul Ghadab, which means the reasons under which Allah, the person deserves the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are hadith, the quoted hadith and ayahs about the subject. So we should try to refrain from those sins, try to refrain from finding excuses for ourselves, and try to do the good deeds, the fara'id of Islam, good deeds as much as we can, and refrain, protect ourselves from committing sins and disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as we can, because this is all what human beings can do, is keep on trying their best. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the next ayahs, what will be the situation of this person who got the book in his right hand? If a person, when we get the results after going through the exam and you get the result, imagine if a person has good marks, better than what he expected, what will be, how joyful he is going to be, how happy that person is going to be, how he is going to celebrate it. It will be better than anything you can think of it in this world. And Allah explains, gives some explanation of it in the next ayahs. Inshallah, we will talk about those ayahs in our next session. And after talking about that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even talks about those who will get the book in the left hand. And what is it that they will face on that day. And how they will take it. So, inshallah, we will go into those ayahs in our next session. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.